Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We're joined by Michael Rowan, a very smart guy on matters involving our hemisphere. He has written extensively on it as a columnist, as an author. He has served as a political consigliere to various political figures and wannabes in the region. He has, among other things, written a very important book, The Threat Closer to Home, Hugo Chavez and the War Against America. He's always a welcome guest here, and we catch up with him in the aftermath of a very important, at least symbolic, plebiscite by the people of Venezuela seeking freedom from the horrific regime that has been repressing them for so long, a subject upon which Michael is deeply expert. Michael, welcome back. It's so good to have you. Thank you for joining us on this occasion.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
Help us to make sense of what this plebiscite was about, Michael, the background to it, why it was taking place at this time, who participated, and what the consequences, if any of them, might be.
Well, basically, this is the opposition to the Chavez, now Maduro, government of the last 20 years, which has destroyed the democracy and the economy and instituted official narco-terrorism corruption, okay, in the state. I mean, it is absolutely awful. So what they're trying to do, they have control of the assembly.
The opposition has control of the assembly, that is.
Yes, the opposition has the assembly. So the Maduro wants to get rid of it, all right? So he wants to rewrite the Constitution, so he eliminates the parliament, basically.
Now, he's effectively neutered it already through the actions of the Supreme Court, as I understand it. But this is really a power grab that moves beyond just sort of undoing the constitutional arrangement such as it's been to date. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. So he's doing this in the frame of, you know, like a constitutional convention in our terms.
But highly selective in terms of who gets to participate. Isn't that correct?
But yeah, I mean, what he'll do is he'll just stack that and then he'll write whatever he wants. And they'll have these, they already have the plan to do kind of like communist bloc committees and people's assembly where they pretend like there is no government, really. The people are governing, you know?
Right. Trust me. The state is in France, l'état c'est moi. The ruler is the state. And in this case, just remind us, Michael Rowan, of who Nicolas Maduro is, other than the successor of his sponsor, Hugo Chavez. What characteristics, what qualities equipped him for leadership, and how is it, well, translated into performance?
Maduro is like considered to be kind of like as dumb as a post, okay? He's basically, he was a bus driver, and he got involved in a union. Chavez picked him out in 20 years ago to do this or that in his government. Then he's just a lapdog. And so he made him foreign minister. He was absolutely hysterical as a foreign minister. Now he's like president. And Maduro was selected as a foil by Chavez against real opponents that would be there.
He would be a safe proxy and ultimately a successor when Chavez became very ill.
Well, he wasn't thinking of a successor at all. When he realized he was going to die, he figured I better just hang in there with this guy rather than one of my opponents.
Right. We're speaking with Michael Rowan, a columnist for El Universal and Veneconomía. He is deeply, deeply steeped in what has been happening to the people of Venezuela. And it's almost unspeakable, really, when you think about it, Michael, as we've discussed in the past, this incredibly resource-rich nation in sort of a tropical paradise environment, now impoverished almost unimaginably. How has this happened?
It was like an intentional destruction of the state. It was a disestablishmentarianism is what this is. It's like tearing down every institution, the democratic institutions, the private sector, the markets, the church, the Catholic Church, which was important in the past.
And even the institutions of government itself.
Yes, it's destroyed the government itself. And basically also the oil company that they took over, which they have been cannibalizing, is failing tremendously. And it has more reserves than Saudi Arabia.
To what end has this disestablishmentarianism been taking place, Michael?
To steal money. There's $300 billion missing, according to the government's own numbers of the oils that they sold. This is over the last 20 years.
Yeah. And presumably those are understated if it's the government stats. So, Michael, give me a sense of this. The people took to the streets several months ago. 100 or so of them have been killed. The regime is now going to rig this constitutional or constituent assembly, as it's called, to come up with some further disestablishing of the existing order. The people are desperately poor without the basic necessities of life, for all intents and purposes. It is a very grim situation. What comes next if the sentiment expressed by some 7 million of them in this plebiscite for a return to the Constitution, the military supporting the Constitution, an end to this kind of predation by the regime, if those appeals are not heeded, where does this lead, do you think?
I think to the non-recognition of Venezuela as a legitimate state. I think that's the ultimate, that's what will happen with the Organization of American States and with Mercosur and all of the other, the UN and so on. I think everybody will pull away from them and just not recognize them as a state. So it'll be a rogue state, kind of like North Korea.
I wonder if that's possible, because it seems certainly in the OAS to this point, the regime has been able to control a couple of impoverished Caribbean islands, and they have been able to offset the United States and others to hold this stuff at bay. But there's a concern in certain quarters, and I wonder if you share it, that the regime, perhaps not under this government, but a future president, could ultimately reconstitute itself and become a very dangerous problem in the sense of an unchecked, radical leftist government closely aligned with, in fact, propped up by the Iranians, the Cubans, the Chinese, and the Russians. Do you think that's a possible scenario here?
Yeah, don't leave out the Iranians, because they're there, and so is Hezbollah. And so are a whole bunch of, terrorist groups that are training there and using the state of Venezuela as a launching pad for organizing all kinds of arms, arms trade and, passports.
Including the passports. Yeah, a real problem for us as well. Let me ask you quickly, Michael Rowan, you and I have talked about one technique that the United States could utilize to try to change the direction, increase enormously the pressure on the regime. What would that be?
Stop paying for it. The American consumers are paying for this, because 95% now, of the money that they are getting, they're getting either from the American consumers buying their oil, right, or Wall Street buying their bonds. That's it. 95%. So they'd be gone in 2 weeks if you got rid of them, because they have a million people under arms, and there's about 300 or 400 on the top there that are billionaires and millionaires that are controlling this. But if they lost all of that money, they wouldn't have any way to control those military people below them, especially in having them shoot at their own relatives on the street.
Right. Stop buying their oil. Stop selling them gasoline. Stop buying their bonds, and stop propping up the regime. It sounds like a sensible plan to me. I pray that the United States government will weigh in before this next turn of the screw takes place on the 30th of July. Michael Rowan, thank you so much for your time today, as well as the extraordinary efforts you've made through your columns at El Universal and Benecom and Mia, and also with your important books, both The Threat Closer to Home and Getting Over Chavez and Poverty. Michael Rowan, we'll talk with you again very soon. Next up, Michael Prigent joins us. We'll be discussing with him what's next with the Islamic State and the challenges we're facing in the Middle East, and more straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.